Our Old Testament lesson comes to us today from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 through 5, and then continuing in verses 39 through 41. Listen for a word from the Lord. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie wait in their covert? Who provides for the raven its prey when the young ones cry to God and wander about for a lack of food? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was growing up, I thought I knew everything. If there is a problem or a question, I could solve it with my amazing knowledge. As I got older, I realized that there is a lot that I didn't know, and I couldn't solve all the problems of the world. And I had to deal with not having all the answers. There's questions out there in the universe that I just can't answer, and I had to be okay with that. I loved the why questions. Why this? Why that? I would ask a question and I would get an answer and I'd say, well, but why? And the biggest response I got, and I have to admit that I use it now today, is because I said so, end of story. This is the answer I would get from an adult when I was bugging them a lot, and they were just tired of me asking a constant question. So they would say, because I said so, end of story. And usually would walk away so that I would stop asking them questions. So this is this way because I said so, end of story, is what we like to say a lot. Job asked the why question in one form or another to the Lord. But the answer he gets is not because I said so, end of story. But before we get into that part of the Lord's reply, let me give you some background information on what's been happening so far in the story. We start out with Job, who is described as blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. It goes on to describe everything he had: 10 children, lots of animals, lots of servants. Then we move to the Lord and the accuser interacting. And the end result on the first time is that the Lord has said that the accuser could stretch out his hand against Job as long as he didn't harm him. So we as the reader, we get a little insight into this. We have an idea of what's going on. But Job has no idea what is getting ready to happen in his life. Within the first chapter, Job's children die, he has lost his livestock, and his servants, except for the ones who have come to tell him what has happened, have all been killed. But Job remains faithful through all of this. So the accuser comes back a second time and asks if he can stretch out his hand against Job again. And the Lord says, sure, as long as you don't hurt him, as long as he stays alive. Job remains faithful through this affliction and will not curse the Lord. He says in verse 10, shall we receive the good at the hands of God and not receive the bad? For the first time soon after, we hear Job expressing anger towards his current situation and cursing the day he was born. Job is rebuked by one of his friends for cursing the day he was born, and then Job replies that his complaints are just and then pleads for God to kill him. Jumping ahead to chapter 17, where Job, for the first time since cursing the day he was born, prays for relief from his suffering. His tune changes after this, and he tells his friends in chapter 19, "For I know my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God." Job has endured so much suffering, and even though he has complained and cursed God, he still comes back and tells his friends that in the end, God will be with him. This takes something for him to do, and he has every right to denounce God and to turn away from God. And instead, he turns back to God. Job goes back and forth for a couple more chapters on his current situation and keeps his integrity intact. Then in chapter 30, Job pleads his case one more time, telling of what has been done to him and telling his friends and those around him that God has let all of this happen to him and God has not responded. In verses 20 and 21 of chapter 30, Job says, "I cry to you, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you merely look at me. You have turned cruel to me with the might of your hand. You persecute me." Job is furious about what has happened to him and his family, and he is no longer able to remain faithful to God. With that background in our minds, let us go to the scripture for today. The Lord is finally responding to Job. But before we get into how the Lord responds, let's look at how the Lord responds to Job. It's in a whirlwind. If there was an illustration on Job's face, I'm guessing his eyes would be bugging out of his head and his mouth would be wide open in absolute terror. I personally prefer to hear the Lord's voice in more of like a whisper or a hushed tone. So hearing the Lord's voice in a whirlwind would absolutely terrify me. Job is no stranger to strong winds such as this one. A strong wind is what blew down the walls of a house that killed his children. So this whirlwind is most likely stirring up a lot of terror in Job, and he's probably concerned for his life. Then the Lord speaks, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" The first time I read this, I thought about when I would get yelled at for doing something stupid when I was younger. And I would usually get asked what I was thinking. And then immediately after, I would get told that I wasn't thinking. And then I'd, you know, think, you know, and that's probably similar to what is happening between Job and the Lord. And after that, it's usually better to just not open your mouth and say something that you might regret later and probably won't help your case at all. Then the Lord continues by telling Job to gird up his loins like a man and that he is going to question Job. So usually in the Old Testament and other places, when you're told to gird up your loins, you're getting ready to go into battle. So by the Lord telling Job to do this, Job's probably like, "I'm getting ready to go into battle with the Lord." It's probably not a good thing. Job has been questioning the Lord throughout a good portion of the story. So now the Lord has switched the roles, and the Lord gets to ask the questions. And Job better be ready to answer them. Here's the interesting part. The questions the Lord asks Job are not simple questions. These questions are ones that deal with things which humans cannot control. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. The Lord is challenging Job here. It's not to punish Job for turning away from the Lord, but as Bill Brown puts it in a book he's written on wisdom literature in the Bible, the questions, are meant to challenge Job in his creaturely status, as well as broaden the perceptual horizons of his worldview. The Lord is stretching Job, wanting him to be able to look at the world from a different point of view and see how much in this world has happened or happens that Job has no idea about. But is that a bad thing to be stretched? I mean, I'm glad that I don't know the answers to the questions the Lord asks. And sometimes I have questions that I ask the Lord and I don't get an answer. And I've come to realize that I'm glad sometimes when the Lord doesn't answer my questions, because I probably wouldn't like what the Lord has to say. So resting and realizing that I don't know everything and the relief that brings me is great. Listen to a poem from Mary Oliver. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, look, and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads. I love this poem, and at the same time, I find myself challenged by it. I will be looked on to provide answers to questions, and there will be times when I won't be able to provide those answers. Parents are asked questions by their kids all the time, and as much as I'm sure they would like to be able to answer them all, there are times, and there will be times, when there will be no answer to give to the children. And sometimes it becomes better to respond by telling them that their question is great, and they should keep thinking about it and see if they can answer it themselves, or best of all, ask God and listen for an answer. The hard part here can be when there is no answer to be heard from God, and children have to learn that not all questions can be answered. In the passage today, the roles have been flipped. The Lord is the one asking the questions, and Job is the one who is told to answer. These questions are not like the ones we hear on a daily basis. These questions are on a very different level. And while we read these questions today and know the right answer is the Lord, that probably isn't what the Lord is getting at. He doesn't want the right answer from Job. The Lord wants Job to realize how much happens and has happened on this earth that Job has no idea about. On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstones when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? I can see Job's face and reaction when he hears this question. He's probably looking down, hoping for some help from somewhere, or looking around to see if he can tag team with someone else to answer the question. I have the same reaction in class when a professor asks me a question and I don't know the answer, and I'm looking down, hoping the professor doesn't call on me, and then looking around the room to communicate through my eye contact to ask someone else to answer the question so the pressure is off me. Unfortunately for Job, he has no one else to look at. He has to start realizing how much in this world he does not know, and while he probably is first feeling pretty inferior, I hope he is realizing how much has happened in this world he doesn't know about, and it's totally fine that he doesn't know. The Lord is not challenging Job here to be mean. The Lord wants Job to open his eyes and realize how much has happened, is happening, and will happen in this world that Job will not know. What is key here is that the Lord knows. We, like Job, don't have to have the answers to all of life's questions. Again, Mary Oliver says, though I play at the edges of knowing, truly I know our part is not knowing, but looking and touching and loving. The Lord then shifts the scale of the questions from their larger scale of creation to looking at the creatures which are a part of this creation. Who provides for the raven its prey when the young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? One thing to point out with all of these questions is that these are not why questions. These are who, what, and can questions. The Lord is not trying to demoralize Job, but he is opening Job's eyes to the mysteries of this world, much of which remain mysteries to this day. The Lord is not trying to punish Job for the times in the story when Job challenged and questioned the Lord, but he does want Job to realize that not everything that happens in this world is going to have an answer or reason for why this has happened or who has done it. What Job can know from all of this is that the Lord knows this and provide what Job needs. What we can trust from all of this is that we can go to the Lord with our questions and trust that if we need to know an answer, that he will show it to us in all things. We must trust in God, for he has done this and can do much more only if we trust in him and rely only on God's understanding. So, will you go out into this world searching for the answers, or will you go out enjoying this beautiful creation and rely on the knowledge of God? It is up to you. Amen.